here we are at Brighton Fringe on day one, although venues are still being built and people are still arriving. And this is Witten Camp, who are a twosome. And your names are?
Holly and Charlie.
Okay, now I'm not going to tell us their surnames. For
oh,
a
no,
very...
no, well, we can.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, Howitt and Campbell, that's why we're called Witten Camp. People think it's because we're witty and camp, of which we are in some on some level, but it's our surname smushed together.
You may all need to just press rewind, a bit like you can do on TV now, and just play that slowly so you understand what that was. But there are two people here, Witten Camp, who are really acclaimed. And actually, this year at Brighton Fringe, that line between, you know, what people might call stand-up comedy and sketch comedy and theatre is being filled with some really good character comedy, and this is what we've got here. And you said just before I pressed record that you're not funny, and I felt relieved.
Yeah, no, I definitely, that's why I trained in acting, because I have no interest in stand-up or amusing social commentary. Like, we can do it through story and through, like, I don't think anything I can come up with on the spot is particularly witty, but if you give me enough time, we can together devise something amusing, I think.
I quite like that too. I just want to let that kind of echo. There's a stand-up amusing social commentary, so you just kind of beautifully offended thousands of people, which is probably quite good. But what you're actually saying is that your character comedy is more in the theatre end than what might just be, let's all get drunk and see a show.
Yeah, we definitely
agree. Yeah, looking at each other for confirmation that I'm labelling you correctly here.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely more about the characters and the storytelling for us than writing it because it's funny. We find it fun, so we hope that the audience does too. That's the reason we make it, because we think it's joyful.
Yeah. So take me into your rehearsal room.
There's always Costa Coffee, and then. There's always
Sorry, are they sponsoring you?
Not yet.
Not yet. They might do. And there's always singing warm-ups, and then us creating very much together. I mean, ideas, and then
Holly's a bit of a choreographer. Yeah. I'm a bit of a sound sort of composer on that side of things, because it's very much like a musical theatre slash cabaret slash character comedy. Like, we sort of straddle all genres, lest we have to decide on one. We're not going to do that. So. Yeah, it's very much two best mates. Like, we've lived together for years. Like, I find her hilarious, and vice versa.
And likewise, yeah.
And we work very hard to make sure other people find us, you know, entertaining. Nothing worse than two mates thinking they're funny and no one else finding it.
Does it start with a character? Or does it start with an idea and then the character comes from that?
It started from the hip opera, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing started because we decided that one day, we love to pretend that we can sing opera in our living room, and we decided one day to make a rap hip hop song into an opera, and thought this was rather fun, and shared this with people, and they said it was. And kind of out of that has come our opera characters.
It wasn't serious at all. It was like Nicki Minaj super bass done, like, fully committing opera, and people were like, you should do that at a cabaret night or something, and we did, and we were, you know, hands shaking, really nervous, but it went down really well, and we thought, like, oh, maybe, even though we don't think we're, like, comedians, maybe actually, like, we can make our own kind of comedy, and through that we've discovered what our sense of humour is anyway.
But so that first show, that first ever gig, did you go in going, oh, we don't know if this is funny?
We were like, what's more, so, because, you know, when you go into a comedy night and people are, you know, everyone's got this sort of self-deprecating banter, our only philosophy was like, you've got to turn up in character, and the character's taking it seriously. So, like, sometimes people think we've trained in opera, which is like just an insult to opera, so we always correct them and go, oh, no, we're pretty good singers, but we're just faking it. But we were worried they'd think we were serious, and in gigs they have sometimes thought we're serious, and because they're also really they're diva characters, they're like ultimate rivals, there's scrapping, you know, all of that, so we're worried people think that we're bitchy, so we have other characters that aren't like that at all, lest people think that's what
just
we're
just to
about.
Balance it out. Yeah.
how scripted is it?
Very scripted.
Yeah, it's
so
very,
that's the theatre side.
Yeah, it's scripted with improvisation that we know, like, we're prepared for, like, all kinds of things, and then there's a certain percentage where you're like, anything could happen, but the flow of the show, it has to tick along like a well-oiled machine, is how it's got to be.
And in terms of coming up with those ideas then, you know, do you conflict in a good creative way, or do you just constantly agree with each other?
We definitely don't constantly agree. It's not necessarily, I wouldn't call it conflict, because we're generally quite in love with each other, so we quite like what each other brings. But no, I mean, there definitely needs to be, I think it wouldn't be creatively exciting if there was constant agreement, but that's how we come to our, like, most exciting ideas, I think.
I guess what I'm asking, it's also, it's good. When you reject something and say that's not going to work, and that is, you know, okay, so that's creative. But when you go into a show, are you pretty sure it's going to work, or are you constantly changing that script?
It's every time we've done a show, we have changed a lot of it after, but that's not through it not necessarily working, but it's through constantly being excited about how we can do something that's very genre, defying whatever you think genre should be.
Like, you can't usually create another word from the word genre if you start. That's going to create problems there.
Yeah, I always run into, my dyslexic brain runs into troubles in these sorts of circumstances. But
genre introducing, genre eating. Yeah, it's very good.
Where's my thesaurus?
No. There's a thesaurus backstage as well, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be another book I have to read. I'm not going to do that. No, but we normally, when the best ideas are come up with, they're normally prefaced by Holly saying, I think this is the worst idea I've ever had. And we're always like, oh, this is so tough. You're going to think this is the worst idea. And that's how I know it's going to be good. So we normally, there's always a bit of like, this might be a disaster, but if you just sort of stick to the characters and the story, like, there's a certain amount where you're like, this is just funny.
But traditionally with actors then and theatre, you know, the fourth wall is up, you do your stuff, you can hear them laughing. But this is 10 p.m. at the Warren with a lot of alcohol going around. What do you do if some drunk, you know, bloke throws their colostomy bag at you?
I think generally it's quite a, we're not asking them to, but it's generally quite a gift, I think, because if for us the fourth wall isn't up, like, it's, we are in character as much as possible, and therefore if someone gives us something from the audience, it's kind of exciting. Because it's we always
all
come back to the script,
strong,
but yeah,
there's always a way. They'll, each of the characters would have a completely different way of reacting to an audience member messing you around, and it's always way more funny than if Holly and I were to just react doing stand up or something like that. It's there's
so you'll come off script, you know, deal with a heckler, and then do you head straight back to script?
Yes, because it's I mean, it depends on the moment, but yeah, it's we always know what we're trying to get back to, so we don't completely lose what the show is and we're doing.
We've been working on what kind of show we want to make for a little over a year now, and I think because we have such a strong sense of the kind of show we want it to be and the kind of humour it is actually, and we know the character so well, it's quite easy now for us both to intuit, like, if there's a disaster happening, my mind will be thinking of a problem, Holly will sense, like, she'll be thinking the same thing, and so, yeah, we can improv our way out of it. Also, because there's no point sticking to the script, if something else is going to be funnier and going to be more entertaining and you can stay true to the character and the flow of the show, then absolutely you go off script, definitely.
Do your characters haunt you when you're not performing?
I don't think so much haunt. They probably are too present in our lives, as in, I think
that's
probably
what I meant.
Yeah. I think we probably
we invite them in.
Yeah. I mean, we have two rather lovely Irish chickens who are in an abusive relationship with their cockerel, and they definitely are present. Yeah.
Please don't say you prepare using Stanislavski methods.
No. Oh, no. But they're played completely straight. They're
yeah,
sort of
straight,
you know, they're quite depressed and they drink and they smoke and they share a lover. They share, and there's one cock that they share.
Yeah.
There might be an unforgivable amount of chicken puns as well, played for straight. But they're a very lovable, and also that's that thick as thieves, like, female friendships, like, such a true friendship. It's quite an endearing thing to see, and I've got no problem having a bit of chicken in my life.
But also, very kind of relaxed, kind of throwaway interview in lots of ways, but behind this is a craft. It's what you've been trained to do, and audiences and reviewers wouldn't like it if you weren't doing quality work. So given, for example, a typical fringe venue where you're in a space probably smaller than a broom cupboard just before you come on stage, how do you, you know, hit the ground running on stage? How do you deliver that quality when it is quite raucous? I mean, where are you drawing on theatre practice, and when actually have you got to leave that behind and let go a bit?
That's interesting. I mean, we do work a lot before the show, as in we drill it and drill it and drill it so that we're as on it as possible. And then I think warm up for us is very useful, and kind of connecting. If Charlie and I aren't sort of connected and listening to each other, it's hopeless. Like, it's just not going to work. So I think that's probably where we always aim to be, isn't it?
Also with the space, I think, like, yeah, it's difficult sometimes in fringe settings where, like, you do gigs and every space is a different size, the mics don't work or they do work. Like, I think knowing for us our material, things like the where your props are going to be, and like knowing like how to practice, everything's in a different location, but always knowing, having that in your, like, muscle memory means that actually, like, you can kind of just switch off and, like, go with any changing circumstances. It's a fringe ready show for real. Like, we've been working on it to be out of a suitcase. Rock up, do it, go.
Last couple of questions. One is, I mean, it's very academic. I don't want to sound too pretentious, but if you went into a pick and mix sweet shop, what would you put most of in your bag?
I like those, I think they're actually called Jazzles. although everyone at my primary school thought they were called Jazzies because the L was poorly designed. It looked like an I, and for like 10 years we were like, oh, I want some Jazzies or Jazzles or whatever they are. Yeah, those little white chocolate buttons with the sprinkles on top, they're pretty good.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
I think so, yeah. It's like a terrible...
This group researches its material as
well. What about you?
I think... I mean, I am a chocolate fiend, but I think it would have to be a flying saucer because sherbet's just wonderful, isn't
there's
it?
Never enough sherbet.
There isn't, but that's when you buy a dib dab as well. Yeah. And then you can, like, down that as well as having the flying saucer.
And we're getting an idea of what it's like to perform at Brighton Fringe here with the sound in the background too. Final thing, really, without... I'm sure you won't need to do PR and you won't use the word amazing, but what would be your invitation for people that haven't seen Witten Camp before to come and see it?
Oh, we've done so many copy things. I sort of have all the phrases.
They won't, I don't want any of that.
They won't sound organic if I say them, sprawl it out. A really joyful, wild comedy exploration of female identity. Cabaret, burlesque, circusy madness. Something really fun, like no cynical, sarcastic stuff. Two mates just wanting us all to have a good time. That's what it is.
I mean, that's what I was going to say.
It must be love.
Yeah, I think what I mean saying that, I'm like, I genuinely think it's a very loving show, or we want it to be, as in, like, I think in the sort of state of the world, it feels like trying to bring something that people are just coming in to have a laugh, bring audiences of all different varieties together to hopefully just have a lot of fun. That's what we want.
Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.